March is Endometriosis Awareness Month. Endometriosis is a disease that affects roughly 1 in 10 women in the U.S. and approximately 176 million women worldwide, and is one of the top three causes of infertility. Joining us today is Dr. Mayka Euler, who is certified in both obstetrics and gynecology and reproductive endocrinology and infertility, as we discuss everything you need to know about endometriosis. This is the Time to Talk Fertility Podcast, and I'm your host, Deborah Howell. Welcome, Dr. Euler.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Great to have you back. Let's jump right in. What is endometriosis?
So let me define the term endometrium first, because they're somewhat related. So the endometrium is the lining of the uterus. And when that lining, which is composed of glands and stroma, is anywhere but the uterus, then it is defined as endometriosis. So endometriosis is the presence of endometrial glands and stroma outside of the uterus. And the most common place for it to be would be in the ovary. The second most common place for it to be would be behind and below the uterus.
Okay. Do you see a lot of patients with endometriosis, and do they know they have it before seeing you?
Actually, we do see a lot of patients with endometriosis, and some come already with the diagnosis, and others wonder if they have it. And they read about it, and they hear or see that patients with endometriosis have pain during their menstrual cycles, perhaps painful intercourse, and they wonder if they have it. Now, they don't always know, and I think we're going to get into this a little bit later about how it's diagnosed, but it really does require a surgery called a laparoscopy to have it diagnosed. So some patients have already had that done and have the diagnosis, and some are wondering whether they have it or not and don't know yet for sure.
Sure, got it. So what causes endometriosis?
You know, I think no one knows the answer to that question, really. I can give you the top three theories for it, and endometriosis is the subject of many journal articles, which we read every month because it is of interest to our patients. So one of the theories is retrograde menstruation. So that means that during the menstrual cycle, that endometrium, again, the lining of the uterus, goes out backwards through the fallopian tube and through the end of the fallopian tube and lands on the ovary or on the back below the uterus. So that is one theory. The second theory is endometriosis can be disseminated through the blood vessels and lymph nodes, maybe gets in there and then goes around the path of circulation or through the lymph nodes. That's another theory. The last theory is perhaps there are some inciting mechanism that these endometriosis cells are there, but they're inactive until something else activates them, and then they become active endometriosis, and then the patient presents with pain or infertility. And of course, there's many other theories that I'm not going into, and combination of these theories, but I would say those were the three main proposed reasons or etiologies for endometriosis.
Fair enough. Now, what are the symptoms of endometriosis?
So I mentioned a couple of them already, and I think the most common one would be pain during the menstrual cycle. Now, it's hard to know because I think 90% of all women would say that they have cramping during the menstrual cycle. So how are you supposed to know whether you have endometriosis or not? So I think that this pain would be probably more than most people would describe. It also can be painful intercourse or painful urination. So these are the most common ones, although, interestingly, about endometriosis, the amount of pain does not necessarily correlate to the amount of disease of endometriosis. And we have seen this through studies and at time of surgery that patient can have a lot of pain and have a little bit of endometriosis or a little pain and then have a lot of endometriosis.
Got it. I was one who had a lot of pain for a lot of years.
So, yeah.
I wish I'd known you then, Dr. Euler.
Thank you.
All right, so how is it diagnosed?
So, you know, despite being in the year 2022, there's no easy blood test or ultrasound or imaging study to diagnose it. It really does require laparoscopy, which is a little telescope that's put into the pelvis to look, and the typical appearance of endometriosis is a lesion that is brownish or black. This can be biopsied and then sent to the laboratory, and the laboratory can confirm that pathologically underneath the microscope it is endometriosis. But really, the surgeon doesn't necessarily have to send a diagnosis. The surgeon can just look with the eye, and if it appears brownish or blackish, that would be very typical of endometriosis. Now, sometimes if the endometriosis is in an ovarian cyst, that's called an endometrioma, and sometimes that can be seen on ultrasound, but patients with endometriosis may or may not have a cyst that's filled with endometriosis. And so, unfortunately, there is no definitive way to diagnose it other than to have a laparoscopy and to look indirectly into the pelvis.
Okay, and now can you explain to me the different stages of endometriosis?
Yes, so endometriosis is stage 1, 2, 3, and 4, with 1 being minimal, 2 is mild, 3 is moderate, and 4 is severe. So in order to try and make recommendations for the patients, there is the staging that I talked about, and there's a way to quantify whether it's minimal or mild. It depends on how much endometriosis there is, where it is located, et cetera. So there is a scoring system, let's say, but there are different stages to try and communicate with the patient, other surgeons, you know, exactly how much disease is present in the pelvis.
Now, we touched on this earlier, but if you'd be so kind, can we talk a little bit about how it's treated?
Yes. I think the two main symptoms for endometriosis are pain and infertility. So the treatments are different depending on which the patient has. Now, some patients have both, and that makes it a little complicated because the treatments that we use for pain sometimes prevents the ability to attempt pregnancy. So in general, endometriosis is either treated medically. So a medication is given to try and suppress the endometriosis, or it is treated surgically, in which case at the time of surgery, the surgeon can either laser the endometriosis, fulgurate it, burn it in some way. So the general answer is either medical or surgical.
And how common is endometriosis?
Well, unfortunately, it's very common. I think you started out at the beginning by saying it affects 1 in 10 women, and it affects women with pain and infertility more. We find it a lot in our patient population because of the contributing factor of endometriosis to infertility. So we think about 25 to 30% of infertile women have endometriosis. And the flip side is 30 to 40% of women with endometriosis have infertility or pain. So it's quite common, and that's why we see the problem a lot in our patients.
Yeah, those are some high numbers. Is there an age range where endometriosis develops?
Endometriosis usually develops in reproductive age women. So it's not common to see it in a young patient before they menstruate and not common after the menopause. The reason for that is because the hormone levels are different in those two stages. So it usually occurs in reproductive age women.
And as you say, it is 2022. So why does endometriosis still go undiagnosed or misdiagnosed so often?
Well, I think if we had a less invasive test for it, we could diagnose it more often, a blood test, an imaging study of some sort. Unfortunately, most people do not want to have surgery unless they have to have it, which we can't blame them. We can suspect it. Many times we have talked to the patient about the pros and cons of having surgery to diagnose it or going ahead and treating their problem without diagnosing it. So because it is so difficult to diagnose, many patients opt to not have surgery to diagnose it.
Now, we know it does affect fertility, but how does endometriosis affect fertility and my ability to get pregnant?
Going back to the stages of endometriosis, let's take an example of the patient has stage 4 endometriosis and it is throughout the pelvis. Then this makes it anatomically difficult for the fallopian tube to pick up the egg because there can be a lot of scar tissue. It may prevent the egg from being released or picked up by the tube. Then the sperm has to meet the egg, go into the fallopian tube, drop into the uterus for implantation. So there can be an anatomical barrier in a patient with endometriosis to get pregnant. If the endometriosis is mild or minimum, then there are, again, a lot of theories about are there factors in the fluid in the pelvis of those with endometriosis that prevent the egg and sperm from meeting each other, that somehow impedes because of this level of protein or that level of another enzyme, or there's a lot of theories about it, but it is thought that it can affect it on multiple levels and due to multiple factors.
Doctor, what percentage of women with endometriosis are able to get pregnant?
I think a high percentage, depending on the age of the patient, which is the primary predictive factor for pregnancy. So the older the patient is, the harder it's going to be to get pregnant. But a patient with endometriosis has the same chance of getting pregnant as a patient with tubal disease or male factor or other factors, because through using in vitro fertilization, we can bypass the endometriosis in the pelvis and get right to the ovary, take out the eggs, put it together with the sperm, and then put the embryo back into the uterus. So the pelvis can be bypassed, but again, depends upon the age of the patient and any other contributing factors.
Sure. I just got to say, what you do is amazing. What you just described right there is a miracle.
Well, it is for many patients.
Yeah. And can endometriosis affect pregnancy and delivery?
You know, it really shouldn't, because again, we said the endometriosis is outside of the uterus and the pregnancy is in the uterus. So really, a lot of patients have a lot of pain relief when they are actually pregnant, because they're pregnant, they can enjoy pregnancy, they're not menstruating every month, this is occurring outside of the uterus, so most patients do well once they get pregnant.
That's some good news anyway. And what fertility treatment options are available for women suffering from endometriosis?
So I mentioned one already, the in vitro fertilization, where we can bypass the pelvis if there is a lot of disease. So if the patient says she has minimal or mild disease, it would be possible to do something less than endometriosis, such as a mild fertility drug with intrauterine insemination. And then, of course, the treatment would be different if the goal of the patient is pain relief. That would be different medications that would be given to the patient.
Sure. And what role does stress play in all of this?
Of course, many women who have endometriosis are affected by stress, because it's stressful if you have pain a lot of times in your life, if you don't really know what's causing the pain, if you try regular medications like Motrin or Advil and it doesn't help you. So all those things can contribute to stress. I think I would recommend that you go see your doctor and see if there's something that we can do to help diagnose or help the symptoms. I think that would be the best recommendation.
Perfect. And, you know, we always like to end on a note of hope and hopefulness. Can you speak to that?
Yes, I think that if you see your doctor, there's a high chance that whether you have pain or infertility, you can be helped with one treatment or another. And I think that the problem of endometriosis is so common that your doctor knows about it or can consult with a specialist who does. So I think that the treatment options are large enough and successful enough for most patients.
Well said. And we want to thank you so much, Dr. Euler, for all this great information today and for bringing us a new awareness about endometriosis. We've loved having you on the podcast.
Thank you so much, Deborah, for inviting me. It was a pleasure.
That was Dr. Mayka Euler, an infertility doctor at Fertility Centers of Illinois. Find out more about the services FCI provides for patients by calling 877-324-4483 or head over to fcionline.com to schedule a telemedicine appointment with one of our physicians. And if you enjoyed this podcast, you can find more like it in our podcast library. Be sure to give us a like and a follow if you do. This has been the Time to Talk Fertility Podcast. I'm your host, Deborah Howell. Have yourself a terrific day.